Today, what we're going to do is we're going to close our series on American Idols. And in fact, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the idol. And I don't know if you obeyed my directive in the email, but how many of you looked at page A15 in the paper? Two of you. Okay, good. Good. Well, I love the paper. I love the paper because the paper often just illustrates whatever message we are going to focus on Sunday. And in the paper, on page A15, was Simon Lezama. This is in Las Vegas, and Simon is a 27-year-old trim and fit-looking restaurant manager from Odessa, Texas. And he was on day three of his five-day vacation, and he rented one of these carts, so that he could tool around Las Vegas into the casinos. You could even tool up right to the gambling tables, up to the slot machines. These things are going like hotcakes in Las Vegas. This is a 27-year-old who rides around all day rather than walk. And he says, you know, it was all the walking that got on me. And he says, and now I can drink and drive and be responsible and save my feet. It's becoming the rage. Perfectly healthy tourists, they fork over about $40 a day, and they swallow their pride, and they use transportation that is intended for the infirm. You don't have to take a step. You don't have to put your drink down. You can just sit all day long. The idol. It's a symbol of our physical laziness. So, I mean, we read that all the time. You know, the studies that have said that, you know, our children are out of shape and adults are out of shape and we do way too much sitting, and every new invention that comes down the pike seems to be focused in on helping us to sit more leisurely than we sat before. I mean, it is a symbol of our culture that idleness and focusing on how can I just relax has become more of a focus than it ever has in the history of mankind. Another symbol of physical laziness in my house is the remote. How many of you panic like me when you cannot find the remote? Because I think, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to get up. And when I do go to the TV and want to change the channel or something, I don't even know where the buttons are. And so I'm in a panic because I've lost my remote. It's a symbol of my laziness. Now, we could focus all day long on talking about our physical exertion. But what I want to do today is I want to focus on the idol in our spiritual lives, in our relational lives. And the Bible really helps us because it focuses in on, when it talks about the idol, it really talks about the sin of omission. Now, the sin of commission is the things that I do, things that I say, things that I think that are damaging to other folks or damaging in my relationship with God. The sin of omission is not doing what I know I should. In fact, James chapter 4, verse 17 says this. Says, remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. It's a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. You know, we focus on, not doing the don'ts. But this focuses in on doing the do's. And says that what we need to do is we need to do what we know we ought to do. And the reason that we don't, we might call procrastination. The sin of omission, the sin of omission's unique strategy is procrastination. I know the things that I ought to do and I don't do them. I know the things I shouldn't do and I do those, but I don't do the things that I know that I should. Procrastination on the things that I really want to change in my life. I love my favorite ditty with procrastination. And it's just seared into my soul. Procrastination is my sin. It only brings me sorrow. I know that I should give it up. In fact, I will tomorrow. Procrastination. The question is, why do we put off doing the things that we know we should do? Why do we do that? And then feel badly for putting off doing the things that we know we should do. Anybody have this in their lives? Or should I just shut up because it's not relevant whatsoever? Procrastination, not doing the things that we know that we should do, putting them off. And today what we're going to do is we're going to look at some causes, the Bible says, are present that cause us not to take a step that we know that we should. And then we're going to look at the cure and what God can do through us to help us to do what we know that we should do and he desires for us to do. So let's look at some causes. First of all, indecision. Indecision causes procrastination. James 1 says, they can't make up their minds. They waver back and forth in everything they do. Have you ever sent a waiter away at a restaurant because you can't decide what to eat? Or is that just me? Have you ever gone, you know, the worst sign of indecision is when you go to McDonald's and you sit there and go, you know, that's the same menu they've had for 30 years. And we still are indecisive. I don't know. You know, like we're just shocked to see what the menu is at McDonald's. The fact of the matter is, we are indecisive oftentimes in buying a car, choosing a college, getting married, buying new clothes, changing a job, going out on a date. Indecision causes us to procrastinate. Secondly, the Bible says perfectionism. Perfectionism causes us to procrastinate. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. If you wait for things to be perfect, for the situation to be perfect, then guess what? You'll keep putting it off, because perfect conditions never come into play. Thirdly, the Bible says fear is a reason why we don't do the things that we ought to do. Proverbs 29 says, fearing people is a dangerous trap. When I'm afraid, I put things off. When I'm afraid of people, I put off doing with them what I should do with them, and I know that I should. Fear causes us to put things off. How many of you have put off going to the dentist? How many of you put off going to the doctor or getting marriage counseling or making that sales call or sharing your faith at work? What stops you from doing that? What causes you to put it off? Fear. And fourth, the Bible says that anger does as well. It causes procrastination. Proverbs 18 says, a lazy person is as bad as someone who destroys things. Oftentimes what procrastination is a way of getting back at people. We delay. Kids are great at this. You know, that you tell them to clean their room and do they get on it? No. Almost like, you ain't gonna tell me what to do. You know, it's a way of getting back at someone. Sometimes it's passively, sometimes it's more aggressively. The fact is that procrastination is often passive resistance. I don't want to do it because I don't want to be controlled by you. I don't want to be told what to do. I don't like you. And therefore, we procrastinate. And the fifth cause that the Bible elevates is laziness, just plain out laziness. Proverbs 13, lazy people want much but get little, but those who work hard will prosper and be satisfied. Our generation, you know, today, we are a people that have a low tolerance for pain. We don't like to be frustrated. We are a nation of couch potatoes. One of the most popular words in America that sells things is the word easy. Isn't it? I want something easy. If it's easy, we like it. If it hurts, we don't like it. If it takes work, we don't like it. I saw on TV this week. It's called The Red. It's an exercise machine, and all it is a seat that swivels. And it's a little seat that's red, and it swivels. And you hold on to the side, and you swivel side to side, and then they show a picture, and you'll have abs of steel. And then it says this. It showed, you know, a picture of a gal that was just, you know, excruciating in pain on one of those exercise balls that you... Would you like to do this? Or, you know, they're showing the normal crunches. You know, a guy that's just, you know, out of shape, and you know, he's got this grimacing look on his face. And would you like to do this, or would you like? Red. Only $14.95 for a 30-day trial. Easy sells. Hard work doesn't. But easy sells. In fact, I called immediately because I want those abs of steel, and all I got to do is go. Just for 5 minutes a day. No, 5 minutes three times a week. You can't get much easier than that. Can you imagine a bestseller saying 10 painful steps to change your life? Oh, I want to get that book. Or can you imagine it being on the bestseller list of 15 very difficult ways to get in shape? And no, I don't want that book. I want to order the red. 5 minutes three times a week, and I'm going to look like that guy. Laziness. Laziness. So those are the causes. Those are some of the causes that the Bible lists as reasons why we don't do the things that we know we ought to do. Now, there is a cost to procrastination as well. And we need to be aware of that fact, is that when we procrastinate, when we put off doing what we know that we should, there is a cost. First, the Bible says it produces problems when we put off doing what God wants us to do. Proverbs 15 says a lazy person has trouble all through his life. How many of you have home repairs that you put off? And if you put off those home repairs a long time, guess what? That procrastination causes problems, doesn't it? I mean, if you got a little leak in your roof, for instance, and you say, well, you know, I'll just put a bucket under it. And if that goes on too long, then pretty soon it rots, and then you're going to, you know, have major damage in your home. Procrastination with regard to our homes brings difficulties. And it's the same thing when we put off doing what we need to do with our cars, but it also with our homes, but also, how about with our relationships? The longer that you wait, the worse any problem gets. In a relationship, if you've got a difficulty and you don't deal with it, does it get better or does it get worse? It gets worse. Procrastination produces problems. Secondly, it wastes opportunities. The Bible says if you are too lazy to plow in the right season, you'll have no food for the harvest. We need to seize the opportunity. And if we don't, then we have wasted an opportunity. And thirdly, and most importantly, the cost of procrastinating is that it hurts people. It hurts people. Laziness prevents us from being loving, does it not? You know, love requires commitment, energy, and work. The Bible is full of one another verses. We've talked about that before. Love one another, forgive one another, encourage one another, pray for one another. All of those one another's take work. A lot of people just don't want to work at being loving. It's easier to be lazy and not do anything than to be loving, because loving, being loving, takes effort, does it not? And so when we procrastinate and don't do the things that we know that we ought to do, ultimately it hurts other people. I mean, it can happen in being a parent. Our laziness, our procrastinating, not doing the things that we know that we should do with our children can hurt them as well. I mean, how many times you've come home, you know, at the end of the day, and the kids really need to be disciplined in one way or another, and oh, I'm just too tired. I'm just exhausted. You know, and so you let it go. You let go doing homework with them, or you let go in spending time with them and having fun with them. Procrastination hurts people. So that's the problem. We all know it's a problem. How about the cure? The Bible says this is the cure. And the number one cure is to submit to God. It's really interesting how all of our life ills involves this point for us to get out of it, to submit to God. You and I need the power to be cured of our indecision, our perfection, our fear, our laziness, and that gives birth to not doing the things that we know we ought to do, and God makes the power available to us. Look at this verse, Romans 8, says, the Spirit of God. In fact, in many translations, it says, the same Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as he raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. The same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead, God has placed in us, and he wants to work a wonder in us. He wants to give us life by infusing life into us. God gives purpose to life, which supplants the deadness that comes from laziness and gives us a purpose and a vision and a road to travel. And sometimes it seems like that we need to be raised from the dead so we can do what we need to do to those that we love. Oftentimes we're stuck in some sort of indecision, and he promises to give us direction, and he promises to give us the strength to be able to do it. So the first step is for us to submit to God on a daily basis and say, Lord, what would you have me do? And give me the power to be able to do it. Because God never asks us to do something that he doesn't give us the power to be able to do. He doesn't place us in an impossible situation. So the first is submit to God. Secondly, stop making excuses, the Bible says. Proverbs 22, the lazy person is full of excuses, saying, oh, if I go outside, I might meet a lion in the street and be killed. Do you notice the sarcasm that's in this verse? I mean, that's as dumb a statement for not going outside as can be imagined. But that's typical for us. Have you noticed that other people make excuses and you give reasons? Man, I'm around people that give excuses all the time. And mine is an excuse. It's a reason. It's a reason. I've done the list of excuses that people had sent into insurance company for accidents. I love this. These are actual insurance claim statements. Going home from work, I drove into the wrong house and collided with a tree I don't have. The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I hit him. As I pulled away from the side of the road, I glanced at my mother-in-law and headed over the embankment. I like this one. In my attempt to kill a fly, I drove into a telephone pole. Another, I was driving to the doctor's with rear-end trouble when my universal joints gave way, causing me to have an accident. Another, I had been driving my car for 40 years when I fell asleep at the wheel and had an accident. Oh, I like this one. The telephone pole was approaching fast. I attempted to swerve off its path when it struck my front end. You got to watch out for those telephone poles. How about this one? An invisible car came out of nowhere, struck my car, and vanished. How about the indirect cause of this accident was a little guy in a small car with a big mouth. I like this one the best. The pedestrian had no idea which way to go, so I ran over him. What's your excuse? What have you been saying about, you know, one of these days that you're going to do? And you keep making excuses. We keep making excuses. The Bible says a lazy person is full of excuses. Ben Franklin said, people who are good at making excuses are really good at anything else. We become pros at it. For putting off today what we know God wants us to do today, which leads to the third directive that the Bible gives us, and that is start today. Stop making excuses and start today. Not next month, next week, tomorrow, right now. What is it you're going to do? What is it that we need to do right now? Proverbs 27 says, don't brag about tomorrow since you don't know what the day will bring. None of us is guaranteed a tomorrow. You don't have any guarantee that there's going to be a tomorrow for you. You say, I'll do it someday. Well, someday is today. I mean, three words that can change our lives is do it now. Do it now. Rather than putting it off for later. Rather than saying, I'll do it later. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. Which is a tendency for all of us to do, to put off doing what we know that we should do right now. You know, let me give you a little homework assignment. I want you to write three things down that you know God wants you to do in three areas. First area is your family. What three things do you know that God wants you to do with your family and wants you to do it now? How about, secondly, in your personal life? three things that you sense that God wants you to do in your personal life. He wants you to do it now. And thirdly, how about you write three things down that you sense that God wants you to do in your career, in your job? It could be something that you know that God wants you to do, that you sense deeply that God wants you to do. And then, you know, take one of those areas and start this afternoon. Start this afternoon. Take one of those areas and put into play now what God wants you to do. Do it now. Start today. Fourthly, stand up to fear. Step over fear. Step over fear. That's really the root behind a lot of our avoidance. If you're avoiding something, oftentimes it's because you're afraid of it. And you have to identify those fears and deal with them. And there are two fears that are most prevalent in our lives. The first is fear of failure, a fear that whatever you are going to attempt will go south. And the second is a fear of success, that if I do well in this, then the bar is raised and my expectation level will be much greater and I won't be able to achieve that later. And so I'm even afraid of success. We need to ask ourselves when we put off doing things, what am I afraid of? What is the worst thing that can happen? What kind of strength and power do I need from God to be able to overcome this fear? Philippians 4 says, "For I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength I need," as we talked about with the kids. And three of those, you know, those three areas, you know, the things that you list, God will give you the help. God will give you the courage. God will give you the strength. God will give us what we need to be able to step over fear and to do what God wants us to do. Would you like a summary verse of this whole arena of doing what God wants us to do? You know, Romans chapter 7 says, you know, as Paul struggled, he said, you know, that the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing all the time. I mean, what he's doing is summarizing the struggle that we all have. And that is doing what God wants us to do now. But Galatians 6, verse 9 says this, "So don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time." We need to push through the frustration and look at the gain beyond the pain. That's what this verse is really saying, is look beyond the pain, look beyond the discomfort, look beyond the fear, look beyond and see the gain that God is going to produce in your life. You know, one of the major questions that we need to stop asking is, what do I feel like doing? Because when I operate with my feelings, I'm going to put off. Because if it's unpleasant, or if it takes some work, or if it takes some energy, or it takes some strength, or it takes some courage, if it's on my own, I'm going to put it off. What I need to do is to focus on, what does God want me to do? What does God want me to do? Truly, immature people live by the feelings, and we all struggle with immaturity. Jesus never said life would be easy, but he did say that he would give us the strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what is it that needs changing in your life? You know, do a little bit of inventory. What have you been putting off? One of these days I'm going to, what is that? Has God identified that in the last few moments? That might be a sheer focus that says, I want you to do this and do it now, and I want to give you the strength to be able to do it, because you can do all things through me who will strengthen you. That's what God says to each one of us. Let's pray together, can we? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the way that you diagnose our lives. I thank you, Lord, for the fact that you walk with us every step of the way through life, that you don't leave us alone, that you desire to be our partner, that you be our friend, to be our strength, to be our redeemer, to be our savior. And I thank you, Lord, that this message today, that you want to make application in our own lives, Lord, that you have brought up in each one of our minds and our souls things that we have put off doing that we know that you want us to do. And so, Lord, as we leave this place today, give us the strength and the courage to be able to do what we know that you want us to do, and to do it now. Father, give us the courage, give us the strength. I thank you, Lord, that you offer that. And we praise you and adore you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.